Dhoni, you can start the recording.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I believe you are aware of the background about Apar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi.
I'm just Pizza Ramesh. I said just Pizza. I've already met you online. Thank you.
Maybe I'll give a very brief overview of, you know, the growth opportunities that we see at Apar in a couple of minutes, and then I'll deep dive into each of these divisions that we have, you know, followed up with any questions that you have.
Sure.
So broadly, we see three main areas of growth for Apar in this current state of things that is happening. The first one is a focus on the renewable space that is happening across the globe, with a lot of the solar installations and wind installations coming up. You actually need a lot of products for this solar and wind. And if you look at our divisions, we are poised for, you know, the benefits coming from these opportunities, because you need cables for generation, solar and wind thing. You also need conductors for the transmission part of it, because it gets generated at one place and gets utilized at some other place. So you need conductors for the evacuation and transmission of these power. And you also need oil, because, you know, a lot of this transmission, wherever it is there, you need transformers. And you need to step up and step down of transformers. So you need transformer oil that gets into the transformer space. So overall, for this renewable space, you will need products that, you know, we have across our three divisions. And we feel that this boost in renewable that we have been seeing since the last few years is going to be beneficial for us. And in terms of, you know, our space that we operate in India, we are the largest when it comes to the renewable space. We are the highest, we have the market share in the wind sector, and we have a big player when it comes to the solar business there. So that's one of the growth drivers on the renewable thing. The second thing is that generally you see that the level of infrastructure across the globe has increased. Now, post-COVID, we are seeing a lot of spends happening on the infra space. You look at countries like United States are signing off this Inflation Reduction Act, which is a step towards building more and more infrastructure. Some of the lines that they have, you know, laid is 5 to 6 decades old and due for changes in the line. So there's a lot of infra spends that is likely to happen across the world. People are moving to, you know, metro rails and electrification in the rail networks. You see countries like Australia having a lot of metros in place. So some of these electrifications and, you know, public transport and, you know, metros getting in. And also, if you look at India, a lot of avenues for this metro thing. So this is also presents a very good amount of opportunity for the business that we have. The third thing clearly that we see is all this, you know, telecom and 5G rollout. These kind of, you know, initiatives happening also needs a lot of cabling and networking solutions. And, you know, we feel that that's also going to present us a good opportunity. And in terms of cable, as we deep dive into this cable division, we see how the telecom will complement our other products that we have in the conductor division, as well as the copper cable thing. So very broadly, at a very macro level, these are the clear three growth opportunities that we see. And this is something that we are able to see not from a short-term point of view, but we see since a long journey ahead. You know, we are looking at a decade-long opportunities, because it's not a country-specific or, you know, continent-specific thing. This spans across continents. So in some countries will have high, some countries will have low, but over a period of next decade, we clearly see this an opportunity that is happening. Also, some of the things like renewables and this, you know, public transport, we see it's not only in India, but it's a global phenomenon. We see this opportunity happening on pan, on a worldwide basis. So this was just to give a very brief overview of where we see, growth opportunities. I'll just quickly deep dive into our three divisions that we have, which is conductors, cable, and in the oil division. Starting with the conductor division, as we've been seeing this, as we already have this slide in our website, which we have updated our presentation to January 2023. If you look at slide number 5, which is there in this extract, we see a transformation that has actually happened in this conductor division over the last one decade. This division was started way back in 1958. And even until 2014, we were largely, dealing with one particular type of conductor, which is this ACSR type conductors, largely in the domestic segment. Over the years, what we have seen is that this product getting too commoditized with a lot of local players in the market and pricing competitive there and margins getting shrinked. And also we found the need of, a higher efficiency conductors, to be needed besides this ACSR type conductors. As you look at places in urban areas in Mumbai where the requirement of electrification is increasing with more and more population are coming into this city, you need higher transmission of electricity to come into this. So either you set up similar infrastructure, like, the towers which are there, as you see outside, is create another towers having more transmission, or in the same towers, if you're able to transmit higher amount of electricity to the conductors. Now, the existing conductors cannot carry a high transmission because they were designed for a specific purpose decades earlier. But we've been developing this product, which is HTLS, which is high transmission, low sag, which has capacity to transmit high current within the same, towers without the need for adding more and more towers over there. So that's the premium product, one of the premium product that falls part of our premium segment is the HTLS. And we are seeing this traction a lot in recent years with, urbanization happening in the cities. And now we're getting more demand in the tier two cities over here. So this, we not only supply the product, but in some places we also do an entire turnkey solution there, which is, giving entire solution to our customers, so largely the transmission companies, because the requirements for transmission to reduce the losses to have, the longer life is different for different orders that we get. And so we not only supply this product, but we also give a design, we implement that thing, and we do the reconductoring for the customers. And therefore, for that solution is where, we are able to, charge a premium and a margin, because it's besides supply of the product, the entire solution comes to it. Similar to HTLS, we also have this OPGW. For every conductor, there is this earthing wire which is needed. Earlier, it used to serve the purpose of earthing. Now it is also doing the objective of data transmission. You put optical fiber into that OPGW conductors, and it serves earthing plus data transmission. This is sector which we are seeing high demand in the recent last one, two years, and that is also contributing to the premium part of the conductor portfolio. The third premium portfolio that we have is on the copper conductors, which has we've been supplying high to the large amount of copper conductors to the railways for the electrification thing. We've been the majority of the suppliers there. And with most of the electrification coming to end by 2024, we have new products in the offering, which is your products for high-speed trains, which is this bullet trains. And we already have a product in place. You see the presentation, we talked about copper magnesium product to cater to the high-speed train. We have bus bars that helps, copper metal for the strapping of various electric points over there. So the premium part of the portfolio, clearly we see, dominance over there. And it's close to about 45 to 50% of the entire conductor portfolio. What has also changed in this year, FY23, the start of this year, is that on the non-premium part of it, we are able to see tap opportunities from the overseas market. So even earlier, we used to supply to the overseas market, but now the product mix and the geography mix has changed. And due to, as I talked about, some of the growth drivers on infra spends on renewable thing, China plus one policy is all helping us to tap the overseas markets for our non-premium products, which is a product which has less margin in India, the standard conductors having less margin in India, that we are able to supply to overseas customers, and we are able to get a good margin because they not only look at the price, they look at various other aspects, the appetite of the company, the reputation of the company, you know, the commitment to delivery schedule, the risk management framework that we have within APAR to hedge aluminium, copper. So they look at a holistic thing. They look at life cycle cost of the conductors. So unlike in India, where it's just a price game, in overseas market, it's much beyond. So in terms of an organized player, we are better poised to tap the opportunities that is coming. So this is what has dramatically changed this conductor division this year. So you see that entire portfolio, all the product mix of this division getting not only profitable, but high margin profitable in FY23. In terms of, you know, the guidance that we've been talking on, this thing is that we clearly see on a short-term basis this momentum to continue, because nothing is going to change in the short term. We see this demand and no requirement coming. Even in the long term, because of the way we have changed the product mix of this this division, we feel that no, clearly without any tailwinds, and by tailwinds we mean that no, not only the freight and steel cost, but also geopolitical advantage also we call it a tailwind. We call it China plus one also is a tailwind. We talk about, you know, the delivery times that the customer expects also a tailwind. Even without those tailwinds, clearly we would be in the range of 22,000 to 25,000 per metric ton profitability on an EBITDA number. And with these tailwinds, you know, coming up, it could, you know, be higher depending on how it pans out for us. So that's what we have been guiding on the conductor division. In terms of the growth, in terms of volume, we talk about, you know, 10% odd volume growth coming on a year-on-year basis. So that was on the conductor division. I'll quickly move to the cable division. So here we have a wide range of products when it comes to the cable division. We supply cables for the power cables. We have.
Last one, what's the CAGR of conductor business in terms of volume?
Volume would have seen a degrowth in the last 5 years, because what has changed is that the mix has changed. Some of these high efficiency conductors, you don't need that much quantity of metric tons, you know, to do this. Some of the premium conductors, the metric ton requirement is very low. The kilometer to metric ton conversion is very low in case of premium products. So you would see a reduction in the volume. But at the same time, the profitability has gone. So despite
higher value add.
So CAGR for the last 5 years,
KGR will be around 14%.
Volume will be down.
But that's value add KGR of price inflation.
Yes.
Can we ask questions?
Yeah, on conductor you can ask, then I'll move to cable. Yes.
Conductor, I just wanted to understand. Your growth has been in the last 2 years, 2022, and 23 obviously is a phenomenal year that way. If you could help us understand how has been similarly the volume growth CAGR for four parts, basically, first your conventional domestic and conventional export, and similarly your premium domestic and premium export. Basically, I'm just trying to understand the non-conventional versus conventional conductor as a breakup of domestic versus export, because the next driver for you is conventional export.
Yeah. So what has come down is the conventional conductors for the domestic business, because you know, that's something that, you know, used to be the least margin, and with, you know, premium conductors and the export conductors going up, this is something that, you know, is would have come down. So if you see even in the current year, just about maybe what 5-10% of the current quarters thing would be part of, you know, conventional domestic conductors.
Volume wise.
And what has gone up on the conventional part is the export part. So, you know, almost all of 85-90% of the conventional, which is the non-premium part, would be my export conductors.
How much is the total premium, say for FY23, and how much would you
premium would be about 45% to 50% premium products.
So, and of which, how much would be domestic and export?
Of the premium, largely it is domestic and around Asian countries like India, Nepal.
Export will be about 15%.
Will be less.
So premium mainly domestic and conventional mainly
exports.
Exports. That is the current situation.
Okay. So and in conventional, what is the broad mix? Broad mix between domestic and export?
Conventional will be around 10%, as you said, 10% to 15%.
Now.
Domestic.
Domestic.
And the remaining 90%.
Yes.
So similarly, for the growth trajectory, could you help us understand across these four elements, what is the volume growth are you expecting?
So within this, we expect this mix to continue. Because this mix to continue, because we see this opportunity coming up, as we see export opportunities more. And as I said, it's not only price game, it's all this entire ambit there where we feel a good position in there. So we feel that mix is likely to continue. Unless some of the US China thing changes dramatically, which as of now we don't feel it's not going to happen, but we feel that this particular mix will grow.
We can do more of conventional domestic actually, but we are not taking the orders actually, because they are, the orders are not profitable. It doesn't make any sense for doing that. So just to keep in touch with the customers, we are doing the orders, and mainly we are focused on export actually, because the export margins are substantially higher than the domestic as far as conventional is concerned. And the premium products we are mainly doing in domestic, and some part of it getting exported to Bangladesh, Nepal, etc.
Next question, again, you highlighted how much is your EBITDA per ton. So if I see, in terms of overall conductor, we did almost 30,000 odd tons per ton.
40,000 average, I think. Nine-month average is 40,000.
40,000. So if you could help me understand across these four.
We are not giving breakup.
But broadly in terms of how much is your conventional versus differential between the conventional.
The it changes depending on the product mix. It's very difficult to put that, because there are, within this segment, there are numerous products and each are this MTO base. So it just depends on the product mix and things. So it's very difficult to generalize that. What you can look at is over a 12-month period, where do we stand? So within each, it's not that you have one conductor of standard, one conductor of premium. As it's completely a made-to-order business.
Yes, I'm going deeper in that, but just trying to understand, because incrementally your growth is coming in one from the export, from the premium product, and secondly of this conventional export. Yeah. So broadly, how much is the differential? Not to the last mile, I don't want the number to the last mile.
Even then, it's very difficult to get that number, which can tell you that premium would be how much and this kind of export premium. Because product lines are different. In the premium, it's not only the product, it's also the service there. And in case of export of conventional, is the product over there. So the metric tons, the conversion, is a lot more dynamics involved than putting a thumb rule on this number there.
But a large part of this jump in EBITDA per ton, which is almost doubled, more than doubled, is because of the conventional
exports. Yeah,
export. Conventional export as well as the premium.
Premium.
Earlier, conventional, because we were not exporting actually, and the EBITDA was very low actually. So it used to bring down the EBITDA, overall EBITDA.
And how much is the China factor here, where now as much China is not exporting, you've opened that the markets have opened up for you.
Yeah.
And now that China is opening up, how much do you see that over the period?
What we see is that this demand is going to be high. So in a US country like US, the infra spend is going to just go up.
That was always there. I mean, I'm just asking the China factor. Let's say last 9 months, and your sense, you've been around for decades. So your sense of how the China element could play out, how much of it is one-off and how much could be
see,
sustainable?
It is said that in 21, in calendar year 21, US imported cables to the extent of $21 billion.
Okay.
$21 billion. So the size is very big over there. And the conductor export, which are there, which are now happening because of the renewable program which is happening over there, and the existing infrastructure getting refurbished, because the infrastructure was built about 60 years back. So which we used to tell in the earlier, if you have met me, actually, we used to say that the US spend is going to come and all these things, actually. So exactly, we were not able to put in which year it will come. So now it has started then.
Actually, a guidance of, let's say we have done 50,000 in a quarter, 9 months, 39,000, but our guidance is 20,000-25,000.
Yes.
So are we being too conservative, or
which is what I was saying? No, this 25,000 guidance is a baseline guidance without, you know, taking any of these tailwinds. And in tailwinds, I'm including all this, you know, geopolitical, China plus one, you know, infrastructure spends in US, which is all, you know, likely to go up. So with those things going up, you know, this baseline guidance will also seem up. This 25,000 is just
big.
Quarter, and we are conservative.
So, as I said, so short term, we are likely to be better margin. It's just that the long term, you know, all these geopolitical things, how it will pan out, we don't know. And as I said, the 25,000 is because we have changed the product mix. Now, if US in demand goes up, keeps on happening that way, the US, you know, exports keep on continuing, then we'll see much better
what
margins.
Is the mix last time, FY22, between premium and conventional?
It's about 45%.
Now it's 45-55.
Yeah, yeah. Now it is 45, actually. Last year, I think it was 35, around 35.
Yeah. 35 was premium.
35 was premium.
But no,
this 25,000 guidance is for a long-term basis, actually. If you want to do a model for 5 to 7 years,
yeah,
then that 25,000 guidance is there.
So, Mr. Diwakar, you know, historically, you guys have had ups and downs over the last, you know, decade. And I remember just maybe 2 years back, your returns on equity had come down, you know, to the single digits. And your goal was to get back to 20% returns, yeah, on equity. You know, now you're vastly exceeding that. What do you think is normal, a normal return on equity in a normal environment? So if you think out 3 years.
Say around 25%, actually.
25%.
Fair enough. Going forward, we feel that 25% should be possible.
I see. That makes sense. Okay, it's good. And versus, so just again, I know this is China plus one thing. Apples to apples, the cost of ownership of you versus the Chinese people today, is it, how different is it?
On cost-wise, actually, we compete with them, actually.
So
what was happening earlier, the Chinese product was not having any duty in US.
Yes.
Whereas the Indian product was having a duty.
Yeah.
Now it is other way around, actually. They are having duty of about 25%, and we are having duty of about 4%.
And so now you're... We are better than China.
Plus the what discussion we are having, actually, we see that they are not very happy with China. Actually, they want to go away from China.
Phase out over a period of time. They can't phase out immediately, but over a period of time, we'll see that phasing.
Correct. And if you assume that phasing out happens, that's
so then the more opportunity will be there. Actually, a lot of opportunity will be there. So as he says, actually, these numbers are conservative. Actually.
So in that case,
as we go ahead, actually, we will be able to understand, actually.
So in that scenario, your returns on equity would be above 25%.
Yes, sir, definitely.
If China's de-emphasized. Yes. For the US, at least, that's very likely.
Correct.
Exactly. Which is what, no, you're saying that, no, short term, we feel this momentum will be there. But if you want to put a model for 5 years, 10 years, no, then that's where your baseline would be this. And you'll get added with all this.
Because if you look at other industries like textiles, it's the opposite. Indian textile manufacturers face a duty, you know, whatever. Bangladesh has an advantage, and so Indians are losing out with tariffs. But you're saying because we're competing with China,
it's helping us.
This is helping.
Yeah,
makes sense.
This thing, the entire global phenomenon that you see, is actually favoring us completely. The focus on renewables, which is what I started, the overall growth drivers, and focus on renewables, infrastructure spends, China plus one, it's all favoring us.
How long have you been with the company?
Me, just last year.
Okay.
One year and 4 months. I just succeeded from...
Yes, yes.
Mr. Diwakar.
How is it spread out, this 55% export? How geographically, how is it spread out? It's
largely to the Americas. We also have in Australia and Africa.
So a large part of this is America.
Yeah, America. And where does the manufacturing for Americas happen?
It's in our plant. Yeah.
Right, in Silvassa.
Yeah, in Silvassa, yeah, absolutely.
currency depreciation that all comes to all, or you
hedge it? We hedge it. So whatever is possible to hedge, we hedge it. Like we hedge aluminium, we hedge copper, we hedge foreign currency thing. So our objective is that, no, we don't want to take any risk on all these, you know, metals and currency. We just want to play on our margins. The moment we get an order, we have a hedging mechanism that we hedge on the LME, and then that price is quoted to the customer. So if the aluminium price goes up or goes down, doesn't affect us. We completely pass it on to our customers. We have a completely, you know, hedge mechanism.
Just a couple of years ago, there was a problem with respect to commodity input and a lag in terms of your ability to price. Now that's changed.
No, it's completely changed. Yeah.
So now it's changed.
We have a complete mechanism. Yes. So the whatever is possible to hedge, we have.
Because in case of this TBCB order.
Yeah.
TBCB order. We are not taking any TBCB orders.
So you're not doing that anymore. So now you have a stronger position.
Yes.
Earlier, oil prices used to be a big factor also.
Oil cannot be hedged, so that's that.
Oil
transformer is saying it cannot. That happened, and we try to keep about 2 months inventory, and that keeps on changing. So if you look at oil, you know, the quarterly EBITDA keeps on fluctuating, and oil prices are low, and depends on how much inventory you have, profit margins changes. But if you look at a 12-month period, then we'll be where we are, about 5,000 to 6,000 per kiloliter when it comes to oil. So that was on the conductors, and you know, moving on to the cable division.
One question. So speaking of your export lines, talking about the China plus one. Given that, for example, if you take 100 rupees of imports that US comes from China, how much is the ballpark change that they are looking at? Is it 50-50 or 70-30? Which is the incremental opportunity for you going forward?
No, actually, we don't have exact number to answer that. But, you know, it will be a gradual increase that we can say. You know, that proportion is something is very difficult to say how much will be there. We need to look at, again, the statistics of how much they have imported from which country. But what I can say is that when it comes to exports out of India for the US markets on cable, we were almost negligible till half year of FY22. And now, end of Q3, we would be the highest, largest from amongst the different competition when it comes to export of cables to US. Also in US, you need an approval, which is called UL approval, to supply and sell any cable in the US market. And from India, we have the highest number of certificate of compliances for the UL approvals as compared to any other place. So we started applying for this, you know, during COVID times. You know, that time it started, takes about 6 months to 8 months, with all this testing, rigorous audits and everything. So we have the largest number of UL approvals when it comes to India. So that was, let me continue on the cable front. In the cable, we are the largest domestic player when it comes to renewables. And in terms of range of products in cable, if you see, we are the by far the widest range of cables, serving the power cables, you know, we have house wires, we have elastomeric cables, and this elastomeric cable is all the flexible cables that gets into solar, wind, gets into railways, shipping, defense, mining industry, you know, all this kind of specialist industries where this elastomeric cable gets into it. We also have optical fiber and telecom cables for us. This cable division has also seen a change in the last year with, you know, 50% of the products getting exported, which was just about 25-30% a couple of years ago. And again, that demand is coming up with all this infrastructure and renewable things in place. Also, we have stepped up on our house wire segment, which is our, you know, light duty cables that we sell in India. Largely, we were there in Kerala and Gujarat selling about since the last 3 years. And here we have a very unique and differentiated product, which is this cable is with e-beam irradiated cables, which means that it has give three specific advantages. One is that it has a 50-year life. We claim it on the product, we have 50-year life backed by our testing. It is able to carry 50% more current. So, you know, in the house, you will shortly see more and more things getting electrified with, you know, work from home is there, and then you'll have robots, you'll have, you know, all the air conditioning going up across the country. So you'll need more and more current. So this e-beam cable has 50% more current capacity as compared to any other competitive product which is there. And the third advantage is that it's melt resistance, which means that the insulation will take hours more longer to melt as compared to some of the other cables. These three unique proposition is what we have been spreading awareness to consumers. So consumers will feel it completely safe to have such kind of product. Well, once you put inside the house, you don't need to change the wiring for the next 50 years. And if you see, you know, slide number 10 that talks about how we have expanded with presence from March to December. By March 22, we had about 19 odd distributors. Now it's already close to 100. In terms of retail count, we are about 300. Now it's gone to 1500. We were just about 2 states by March 22. Now we have gone to 13 states there. So this is one area where we see that growth's coming in. We have a separate team who's going to cater to this particular business. We've taken Sonu Sood as the brand ambassador. We've gone on air in the last month in Kerala states. This is a potential for us going forward with this unique and differentiated product that we have. And once this channel is there in place, then you can be able to promote some of the other related products also through this channel. So our efforts is all going into building this channel in this light UV cable business. We're likely to touch about 200 crores this year, 350 crore by next year, and then 500 crores by 2025-26. So that was on the cable. In terms of margins, clearly we see the margins increasing steadily. We were about double digit pre-COVID. Quarter three, we already reached about 11.8%. Gradually, last year, what 5% was there. And every quarter, you are actually seeing an increase in our EBITDA margin. By all the three divisions, we feel that the cable division would be the fastest growing for us. We are looking at 25-30% value growth year on year, mainly because we feel that the market for cable is much higher than oil and conductors, and you need cable in most of the applications, in whether in India and overseas. We as Indian government is promoting schemes like RDSS, which is your distribution, improving the distribution setup in India. That's going to help the cable division a lot because they have a budget of some 3 lakh crores, and about 1/3 goes into the cable business there. So clearly we see that ramp up happening, and in this entire supply chain, the distribution link is the weakest. So the efforts are there to improve the distribution infrastructure in the country. So clearly we see that momentum also happening in India.
Exports, the mix has again seen an increase in the current year. We were at almost...
So we were not present in the United States, as I said, till half year of FY22. And we started increasing our presence over there. We've been supplying this PV cables there, supplying telecom cables over there. And that market is huge, as Mr. Diwakar was saying, that US import is about 20 billion annually. And currently we are just about 3,000 odd crores. So that potential is huge. And our export mix has gone up from 25% to 50%.
But what is the math? So you're saying incrementally the growth will be majorly coming in from exports. So this 25%
exports as well as India, if you see light duty cables, growth will happen. Schemes like RDSS will help to improve this thing. Elastomerics application, as I said, for all the war ships, defense, navy, etc. This business going. So there are multiple growth levers. If you only look at the cable business itself, leaving aside the conductors and other division, but only in cable, we see multiple growth levers happening.
Just to understand the mix of 25-30% kind of overall value growth, in terms of export, how much this value growth would be for over a medium term?
Exports, clearly would be in that 50% or even slightly higher than that mix going forward. So no. Really much higher than the domestic.
And how much of the benefit do we get in terms of margins majorly in the cable business from export?
So it's application based. So now some of the specialized cables will have a better margin, like cables getting to solar PV cables that will be having a higher margins there. So across different cables, the margins will be different. And again, depending on whom you sell to, and the delivery times that you need. all these factors come together. So if you need cable quickly, then you're able to, you know, get a higher margin than you need cable.
The highest margin will be defense cable. Cables which are going into defense, okay, get the highest margin. But getting into defense is quite tough, actually. For that, you will need to do a lot of R&D with defense. The Atmanirbhar program is there, actually. They are trying to indigenize so many things, actually. So cable is one of the item which they have identified, actually, and they are working on these cables with cable companies.
I'm asking this question because we've seen multiple other cable companies where they've done export. So few of the years where you see a lot of vagaries there, export is a major driver for growth, but then few years there are no revenue coming in from exports. So how do you think of balancing out this kind of vagaries, because export opportunity, especially in the cable?
So we are present both in exports and domestic. It's not that, no. So in our capacity, where whichever market gives us highest margin, we are there. We're not going to substitute one to other. We just see that which actually gives the highest margin. So if you look at the power cables in the domestic, it's the weakest margin. Similar to, if you look at conductors, a convention for the domestic is the weakest margin there. So whatever mix and whatever markets are going to give us margins, you know, we'll be there.
And earlier, all the exports were in the underdeveloped countries, like Africa, etc.
Yeah.
So they were all dependent on the World Bank, that type of thing. So that is why the vagaries were there. Here, there is nothing, actually. In US, a lot of money is there. And there, every program is a very big program, actually. US program, if you are able to participate in that program, the Inflation Reduction Act also is... how many trillion dollars actually they are going to spend?
Actually, in terms of domestic, are we seeing incremental competition coming in on the cable side for us?
The competition is already there, na? Domestic. So many players are there. Players are already there. But where competition is not there, in elastomeric cables, which are flexible cable, there competition is not there.
So basically, to understand, the 5% kind of a margin in terms of domestic will continue, and then accretion of margin will come in from the specialty.
Even domestic, some of the special application margins will be higher, as you said, no? Defense.
And domestic demand is also going to grow because of this RDSS scheme, etc. See, at present, distribution is the weakest link in our setup, India setup. There is a lot of losses are there, actually thefts are there. So government is focused on improving distribution through this RDSS scheme. And in that, 30% will be cable. Whatever work will be done in RDSS scheme, 30% will be cable. So a lot of demand will be there. So when the demand is there, the competition, it will get absorbed. Na? So the overall margin level will improve. Actually, even the domestic margin level should improve.
When you say this RDSS scheme, in this case, the products which you sell are higher margin or low margin?
It will be high margin.
Your margin, what did you say? So we moved from like 3% to 12% in cable. So what's the outlook here?
3% was not the real margin.
Yeah. So let's say
pre-COVID, we were already around 11% or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then we came down. See, during COVID, both these businesses suffered. Conductor and cable both suffered. Oil was favorable. COVID was favorable for oil. And these other two businesses, they were suffering. And now it is the other way around, actually. There is an issue on oil, but the other two businesses are improved like anything.
So this level 12 is sustainable.
This is sustainable.
We have been guiding about 10% going forward, but already Q3, we are about 11.8.
Correct.
And with economies of scale, will margins will improve. So you also see that, you know, scale economies are getting into high margin.
In terms of capacity utilization, where are we from both these conductors and cables as of now?
Cables about, 80-85% should be the capacity, and we are increasing capacity there. So we are now have sufficient capacity for FY23 and maybe for first half of FY24. But as we speak, we are increasing capacity. Current year our spend is about 150 odd crores till now, and 2/3 would be going to cable. Next year our plan is to spend about 300 to 350 crores, largely getting into cables and conductor division. So as we see demand and opportunity coming up since these two divisions, our capex will go.
How does your asset turns vary for a cable versus conductor?
Cable would be high, and even within cable, this light duty cable would be much higher. On average, we are expecting about 7 to 8 times, you know, asset turnover ratio.
On a blended basis.
Yeah.
What would be your exit capacities in cables and conductors once you build this capacity?
So we will always be ahead of, you know, this ahead of, you know, in terms of spending capex. So we always
capex will take us to close to about 6,000 crores, yeah, in cable.
You know, even current year, we are looking at conductors, you know, demand going up, the conductors, we are increasing the capacity there. So it's going to be a continuous thing as we see demand going up, demand getting, we'll keep on adding.
And conductor idea is premiumization, actually, not to go for the wall, yeah, just volumes. Earlier, we were focused on volume because the other products were not there.
Yeah.
So now with these other products coming in, as you listed out in the beginning, high efficiency conductor, then OPGW, then copper conductors. So all those new premium products which we have added, actually, we are not focused on volume anymore, actually. We are not taking orders. We can do more. We could have done in these 9 months also, we could have done more, actually. But we are not taking orders.
6,000 crore annual turnover, you're saying?
So for cable.
Cable. So 1,500 quarterly versus 900, what you're doing.
Huh?
Versus 900, you can do 1,500. Post
this capex will give us that.
That additional.
So more than 50% job.
Yes.
60%.
So this capex will give you 6,000 crores worth of revenue.
Yeah, all capex put together.
Means we will go up to 6,000 crores. We are already 3,000 crores, more than 3,000 crores. So another 3,000 crores we will be able to add through this additional capex.
Only cable.
Because we feel that the opportunity for cable is going to increase like anything. And we have to be ready with the capacity.
Conductors, where will the new capex take you to?
Conductor
40,000 is the per metric ton is the current capacity. It will get to 170 or something. And then if you put more capex, further it will. 140,000 metric ton is current capacity. 170 odd.
Prices will depend on volume.
Yes.
So with this, beyond this 550 odd crores of capex, then it will be normal maintenance capex.
Yeah. Again, we see more demand than
maintenance capex. Every time we are doing more and more capex because we are seeing the opportunity.
See, opportunity will invest again.
And this time we want to be ahead of the curve, actually, because today we are not able to supply.
And so on this capex and, you know, cables, what kind of payback do you see?
Our payback is very fast, actually. Less than 3 years.
Less than 3 years.
What run rate are you taking? The 9 months run rate or steady state FY22 run rate? What?
Steady state would be this 11% EBITDA margin we are seeing.
Yeah. So basis that you say.
That will. Basically, the renewable program is running everywhere, actually. Globally, yeah. Everywhere people are putting up the renewables.
Yeah, mandate, yeah.
Mandate. To reduce this climate change and this carbon footprint, everywhere this program is running. Earlier, we were not having any market from the developed countries because their infrastructure was already ready. And we were dependent on this Africa and all these type of places. But now because of renewable everywhere, this action is happening.
Is in India, do you think the traction on renewables will match what the plan is or it'll fall short?
It will fall short.
Yeah.
You have a vision, then you will work for that, actually. Yeah. So you have a vision for 100, actually, you work for that, then you will reach maybe 70, 75. That is also good, no?
Of course, yeah.
So with rising exports, your working capital will get further stretched. Do you see that?
Not significantly, but yeah, maybe because of US, there will be high transit times there.
Working capital cycle as of 30th September was close to 30 odd days.
Around 40 days, we were on average 40 odd days. It might get a little bit stretched.
Okay. So that will further strain the short-term borrowing for even further
To some extent, yes, but we are also working on, having to see how we can speed up on the working capital. We have formed a subsidiary in US. Currently, it's not operational, but in times to come, we'll see how to manage that part of
But that interest is covered in the EBITDA margin. The amount of EBITDA margin which you are getting, that covers all these increased interest cost, etc., everything.
So going forward, any plans on reducing your overall borrowing levels in terms of at least the long-term borrowings?
Long-term borrowing is not much, na? There is long-term borrowing actually. Hardly 250 crores. Out of that, 50 crores will be paid off actually. 200 crores.
Not significant.
200 crores is not much actually. We have the working capital borrowing is there actually, and working capital borrowing will continue. But
Part
that,
of price.
whatever interest is there, the EBITDA is able to take care of that interest. So there is no issue on that.
Plus, one question in terms of this cable again, 25-30% kind of value growth, how much of this will be volume left?
It is difficult to. Different type of cables are there actually. Value is different.
But this will be really apparent here in terms of value, right? In terms of the pricing or cable segment. So from
The aluminum price came down, no? If you see, aluminum price came down, copper price came down earlier in the beginning of the year and the end of last year, the prices had gone up actually.
Largely,
Substantially,
it's all
they came down.
cable is all volume game because the exports and all going up is pure volume game.
So the volume has increased actually.
Export mix going up. We were hardly present in the US a year ago. It was sizable amount of exports is from US.
What is the guidance you mentioned for conductor and specialty all segments?
So conductors volume, we look at about 10% volume increase. Value we don't give because it all depends on the aluminum and copper pricing. So then we talk about margins, EBITDA margin, which is at baseline would be about 25,000, but then all these tailwinds, which looks more realistic, will push up the number.
Cables, we don't share the volume.
No, it's
difficult or
not really difficult
so many types of
because of the
wide range of cables.
So one quick question on the R&D scheme you mentioned about the opportunity of 3 trillion and 30% would be the
cables.
Is it gonna be a double delight in the transformer oils segment as well?
It will be,
Yes,
yes, it
And what's gonna be the opportunity side of it?
So what will happen is that it will all need transmission setup, RDSS, and of anything to do with transmission setup, you need transformers.
Correct.
For that, you will need transformer oil.
Correct.
So, that is not even included in this 3 lakh crore. This
Okay.
is pure about cables, which is there.
Okay.
And you will also need a little bit of conductors also, because there will be some level of evacuation and transmission, which
But
are.
we are not focused on the distribution conductors. We are not focused on distribution conductors. They are smaller conductors.
So in the oil space, we feel that the transformer oil will grow. Because all this transmission will have all the rub-off effect on the transformer oils. Some of the other variants of oil may see degrowth, especially the auto oil part, as things getting into mobility and electric vehicles and all. The auto oil possibly could be low, but the transformer oil would overtake the growth.
Another opportunity which is there, which has not yet come, is the replacement of oil. See, whatever transformers are there, which are owned by these utilities, the oil which they are supposed to replace, they are not replaced for a long time because they don't have money. So once this program is there, so all this will happen. And because of which they are not able to, means the power is there, but they are not able to distribute the power. And in rural areas, there is no power for 10 hours, 12 hours, 10 hours, 8 hours, like that, different areas actually. Because the transformers are failing. So that opportunity is there. And this government is having that program of improving the power distribution. RDSS scheme is mainly for improving the distribution system of power. So that all that replacement demand which is there actually, which has not yet come, if that comes, As I said, actually, that we were not able to say in which year it will come. So similarly, we are not able to say in which year it will come. But when it comes, actually, there will be huge demand for transformer oil. Because the existing population of transformer, which is there, actually, so there you will require top-up requirements will be there.
Exports in US, is there, how is the client concentration, or is it like one plant supply?
We are having three distributors actually.
Mm.
So we are distributing through these three distributors, and conductor is having about 4 or 5 distributors are there actually.
Mm.
Because we are not directly dealing with utilities. There are about 3,000 utilities are there in US total. Out of that, 30 are big utilities and balance are 2,970 are smaller utilities. So these smaller utilities, they are taking presently from these distributors. So we are working through distributors. And as he said, actually, we have set up a subsidiary company over there. And our idea is that in the long run, we will have our warehouses over there, actually, and we will stock the material. Because these utilities, they want material immediately. They don't have that they can wait for 3 months, 6 months, something like that. So these our distributors, they take the material and keep in their warehouse and keep on supplying to these utilities.
And are they like significant suppliers for one or two distributors, or they also source from multiple people?
They are sourcing from multiple people actually. Multiple means they will keep two, three suppliers, they will keep.
But they also look at, you know, if you look at one slide, it talks about our competitive advantage on conductors, is that they look at, you know, people with, you know, reputed suppliers, they look at people who have enough capacity, they look at, you know, people who can supply cables with adhering to the delivery schedule, who have a good risk management technique, like all this hedging and, you know, all those things. So they don't look at, you know, players who have, you know, who will just, you know, a small time player. So this slide is there on our website, and it talks about for the premium products, where do we see our competitive advantage? For the conventional product, where do we see the competitive advantage? So they may be taking from other players, but there are some advantages that APAR has over some of the small players there.
And is that a minimum volume that they guarantee?
No, it actually comes in huge quantity. So there's no minimum guarantee. Don't have any such contract.
So how long are these contracts?
It's a flow business. Yeah. Contract is only an understanding that you will work for us actually. But then it's a flow business.
So what is the typical security deposit in any new contracts which you get? What is the proportion of the project cost?
What is security deposit means?
You have to keep certain security deposit.
We have to keep?
Yeah. Is it so?
No. The only in case of this project type business, actually, last 10% remains for long time. Actually. Like STLS conductor or OPGW, where we do the turnkey contract. Okay. We supply the material also. We bring down the existing conductor. We put up the new conductor and hand over the new line to them.
So, sir, second question is regarding in your cash. You have around 340 odd crores of cash balance. So, what is the committed amount of that 10% in that cash flow balance?
Yeah, I have not understood it. Committed amount means?
This 10% which you have.
The 10% will remain in debtors, no? Actually.
Correct. So, that
Cash balance is separate actually. Okay. Cash balance is 350 crores.
I got your point. Huh. So, what is the addition that can be generated in next, 3-4 years, which you will get. So what can be that addition?
Cash increase.
And that, even that 10%, we have an opportunity of giving bank guarantee. After some time, we give bank guarantee and get the money. So it is not a big deal actually, as far as that 10% is also concerned. After some time, you are able to give a bank guarantee for 10% and get the money.
These are government projects, right?
Huh?
These are government projects. 10%.
These are government projects actually. Transmission.
Otherwise, they are released over what period if you don't give a bank guarantee?
Then that will be 12 months, 18 months after the project is over.
Contract.
After the project is over.
So one last question around this split, where now conductors is almost half of the profit, followed by cables, followed by oil. Let's say 50, 30, 20, 9 months number I'm just taking. Do you, and obviously oil was higher last 2 years disproportionately. But this new share, do you think this could stabilize where we have half roughly coming from conductors and balance from oil and cables?
So what you like to see maybe is this guidance that we are giving with 10% volume growth and that EBITDA.
Okay.
And cable, we are talking about 30% value growth and 10% EBITDA, and oil 5% growth on
all 5,000. Three businesses are independent businesses.
So
we are not restricting any business actually. All the businesses, whatever opportunities are there, all the businesses will be taking those opportunities.
Oil will not,
yeah,
will not be anywhere close to
capex. Capex program is not there for oil. Capex program is there for mainly for cable and then conductor, and then the oil will be very limited capex program.
But oil will actually give you cash flows to, you know, help the capex for cable and the conductor. It's completely cash. You don't need capex. It's completely flows. Yeah, the free cash flow you can fund for your cable and conductor bills. So from among the three divisions, the fastest growing would be cable.
Well, I was just saying, in terms of capital allocation, the return capital on conductors and cables would be far higher than oil. Is that right to say even now?
Even oil, if you see, last 2 years, oil was performing like anything, actually. The return...
In the last 9 years.
The return ratio.
EPS breakup we have worked on.
And you have worked on.
What you're saying, 20 rupees for oil. That's what you're looking.
No, I'm just saying simple return on capital on the three divisions. In the last 9 months, how has that been?
Last, I think,
conductor will be highest, actually.
Highest.
Second will be cable, and then third will be oil, actually. Last, if you talk about last 9 months.
Last 2 years, if you see, oil was the highest. Oil was the highest, and now this other divisions are picking. And oil, we feel that, you know, it's, even if you look at this quarter, is low, but if you look at 9 months, we are in line with the threshold margin, which we have been saying about 5,000.
Oil will also come back, actually.
It's sustainable, you know, that 12 month, if you look at oil, it will always be about 5,000 per kg. Just that if you look at quarter on quarter, is aberration. Otherwise, you know, that 5,000 to 6,000, we feel that will continue.
So, extension to this question, how is the working capital different for each of the three businesses?
Not that. If you look at net working capital, it will be about, you know, all three divisions would be in the range of 35 to 45 days.
Inventory turns is highest for cables. Oh, sorry. Asset turns is highest for cables.
Asset turns would be higher for cable and also for oil also.
Oil,
we don't need capex only. So it just keeps on adding. Cables.
Oil is around 11.
Right? Yeah, oil will be.
So what will drive your 40,000 EBITDA per ton back to 25,000, which you are guiding?
So it's not be that way, no. So we, as I said, that the short term momentum looks high. It's not going to come. Short term means if you look at near term, two, three quarters, though it's not likely that it's going to fall. Even long term, we feel that it could be that level. It's just that from planning, if you look at it, no.
So, but what is it like?
If you are making model higher,
mine means.
Yeah, what number he has given, that is for preparing a model.
It's for like, you know, China plus one not happening. If suddenly, you know, the US, China, this will come back to normalcy. You know, US not preferring India, the custom import duties change between China and India as compared to US. Those kind of things happening, then that's where we feel.
So then what happened? Then the realization comes down.
Even then we feel that our 25,000 would be there because our product mix has changed. So we will be at 25,000. It's just that those...
So basically, it's indefinite.
Look,
but based on history, you're saying that these are unusually good circumstances.
Yeah.
So on crude numbers, if you do the numbers, so whatever you're projecting, what will happen is around 1,100 crores EBITDA of this year. That will remain 1,100 crores only for the next 3 years. If what you are saying will happen.
Yeah, but if you add all this, you know, tailwinds and all, which as of now looks likely, then it will be high. If you look at the guidance, but the guidance is with the rider. That, you know, some of these things will not happen. And you need to see, is that going to be realistic or not? If you look at the present thing, these things are likely to happen. Like, you know, US, China, and all this renewable push, infra spends. You're seeing all these are tailwinds, not only the freight that we call as tailwinds. All these are tailwinds. And as we see, it's like...
The US is not going to change its position with China anytime soon.
Yeah.
It's going to get probably worse. That benefits
so you. That you need to factor the guidance along with this thing. Then it will be a realistic, you know, where we're going to stand. What was the price difference earlier when China was having a lion's market share and we were not there in US? What was the price gap?
No, price gap means duty. They were not having any duty. There was nil duty for Chinese cables.
Okay.
In US.
They had free trade in
the we were having some 4 to 5% duty. Okay. Now we are having 4 to 5%, they are having
25%. Okay, straight away they expense.
Straight away they are out actually. Because of
and in conductors, what was the
similar condition in conductors?
So straight away 20%.
Yes, yes.
So at this import duty, we are at par, or China becomes
we're better.
We're cheaper. Yeah. No, I'm just wondering,
we are able to compete with China.
At a 10% expensive price, even if it's anybody outside China. So, right? I mean,
we are able to compete with China. In China, there is no conductor or cable manufacturer which is of this scale, actually. And their main advantage was aluminum, actually. The aluminum, the 50% of aluminum, global aluminum, is manufactured in China.
China.
And they give a lot of benefits because it is all government, no? So, when they want to promote export.
Segment revenue. So, what is that for? Like, where do you supply?
All the cables has conductor.
Yeah.
So, you know, they supply the aluminum rods to the cable division. And then cable makes the conductor specific.
Mainly it is conductor to cable.
Lastly is that.
Intersegment.
All right, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.